Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridaka wal janna wa na'udhu bika min ghadabika wal nar ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi' ya rabbil alameen. Allah, we ask you for beneficial knowledge, which is a means for us to get closer to you in this world and the hereafter, Ya Allah. We ask you to give us the ability to act upon whatever it is that we learn in this gathering tonight, Ya Allah. And we ask that this gathering be a means of motivation for us to get closer to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. All right, Bismillah. So, we're continuing where we left off last week. Alhamdulillah, our class has been going very well. We've been going through this poem. For anyone who's here for the first time, we're studying a poem of an icon of Islamic knowledge, Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, a great scholar of Senegal, who left us this gem of a poem which discusses the knowledges that are necessary for one's rectification and one's path of spirituality towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the classes that we had yesterday, what we covered specifically was that he said that there are two types of knowledge which are necessary for a person on that path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two specific types of knowledge. And what were those types of knowledge? The exoteric and the exoteric, the external knowledge and the internal knowledge as well. And he spoke about how both of them are necessary for the one trying to traverse to Allah, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he specifically said that, فَالْأَوَّلُ, he says, فَظَاهِرُهُ الْمُصْلِحُ لِلْأَعْمَالِ وَالْبَاطِنُ مُصْلِحُ لِلْأَحْوَالِ. The external knowledge is for rectification of your actions. So we learn how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala externally by learning the external knowledge, how to pray, how to fast, how to do all of these things that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us. But that's not enough, because without the internal knowledge, then you can be missing the true essence of what it is you're supposed to get through those external knowledges. And so he says, "Wal batinu muslihu lil ahwali." The second knowledge, which is the inner knowledge that you're supposed to learn, which deals with action, that inner knowledge is the one that that rectifies your states. Not your actions, but your states. And that's what he mentioned and we went into in our last class. So we're going to continue with line number 93. Alhamdulillah, we've been kind of blazing through this. It's been beautiful, alhamdulillah. And inshallah, today we intend to maybe do, I think, like 15 lines or so, inshallah ta'ala. There was a request last class for me to read the whole thing, like at one time. And inshallah, so we'll do that. I'll read each line individually, and we'll go through it. And then at the end, we'll read the whole poem together at one time. I'll read the whole thing at one time without any interruptions and explanation, inshallah ta'ala. All right? Okay. Anytime, if there's any questions, if you guys are lost, or you don't get something, please feel free to ask, inshallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. He says, وَصَحِّحِن بِالصِّدِقِ وَالْإِخْلَاسِ كِلَيْهِمَا تَذْفَرْ بِالْإِخْتِصَاسِ. He says, and these two knowledges that you have to learn, the inner and the external, he says, and make sure you rectify two things as you seek them out. As you seek them out, make sure you rectify two things. Number one, as-sidiq. Number two is ikhlas. And I'll explain these words. Yo, you guys got to come join us. Come in. Fadlan. Yo, can you come up? Can you guys come up? Brother sitting in the hallway, man. SubhanAllah. So he says, wasahihin. وَصَحِّحِنْ بِالصِّدِقِ وَالْإِخْلَاسِ كِلَيْهِمَا تَذْفَرُ بِالْإِخْتِصَاسِ. He says that as you seek out both of these knowledges, the internal and the external knowledge, make sure you rectify two things, your siddiq and your ikhlas. Now, these are two words that are repeated often. Siddiq means truthfulness, and ikhlas means sincerity. But I want to give you a deeper meaning of both of these words. The word siddiq, which means to be true, according to Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, what is true siddiq, sincerity, what is true truthfulness? Adam al-inqisas al-talab. And what is ikhlas? Adam al-inqisas al-matlub. He says, and this is a beautiful way for you to understand these two terms. Ikhlas, which is sincerity, is when the thing that you're seeking out, there's no division. There's one thing that you're seeking out. Adami inqisas fil matlub. No division in the thing that you're seeking out. So, you know, if I'm doing something and I buy flowers for my wife, right? So I always use this example. I've been using an example too. I got to get something else to buy her. But if I buy flowers for my wife, like there's only one matlub there. It's her happiness. It's her happiness. There's no ulterior motive, Yazin. You know what I mean? There's no ulterior motive. There's one motive, which is her happiness, her pleasure. And that's called ikhlas right there. That's called ikhlas. But the concept of siddiq means adami inqisas fit talab. Adami inqisas, when the effort that you're going through, the means by which you're striving, there's not division in that as well. So you're truly striving for that one thing. So the one thing you're striving for, but your focus is on that one thing as you're going forward. That's what siddiq is. So two terms I want you to focus on here. He says, as you seek out these two knowledges, you need two things. Number one, you need to be ikhlas, only one reason why you're doing it. And number two, you need to be true, meaning the means by which you go after it is focus. You're not diverting your attention. You're focused truly on that thing. He says, if you do that, تَذْفَرُ بِالْإِخْتِصَاصِ, you will be blessed with those fine and noble qualities of character. وَبِاتِّبَاءِ سُنَّةِ الْمُخْتَارِ صَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَارِ. And he says, and make sure you follow the sunnah of the chosen one. Who is that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صَلَّى وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ الْبَارِ. May the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him. وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَمَنْ تَبِعْ آثَارَهُمْ مِنْ مُقْتَدًا وَمُتَّبِعْ. He says, may Allah's, God's blessings be upon him, his family, and his companions, and whoever follows their path, be they leaders or followers. This is interesting. Whether someone is a teacher or a student, no matter what, the bottom line is that we're following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have a teacher and the teacher's not holding on to that actual sunnah, going after that, that's a problem. So he says, min muqtadin aw muttabi', whether the person is a muqtada, meaning a leader, a teacher, sunnah is still in front of you. And if the person is a muttabi', someone following, learning, and everyone goes through these stages, no matter what, you're following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, wa kun mulaziman lima qad thaqula عَلَيْكَ مِنْهُمَا وَنَاءِ الْكَسْلَى. Again, وَكُنْ مُلَازِمًا لِمَا قَدَ ثَقُلَى عَلَيْكَ مِنْهُمَا وَنَاءِ الْكَسْلَى. He says, and be of those people holding firmly to that which is difficult upon you. From these two things, these two knowledges, be of those people who are holding on firmly to that which is difficult upon you. From these two things, what is he saying? As you're seeking this knowledge out, guys, there's going to be things that are hard for you to do. As you're learning more about your inner self, as you're learning more about the deen, there's going to be things that are thakula alayka, heavy upon you, difficult to do. So he says, be of those holding firmly to that which is difficult upon you from these two things. And what will happen? He says, alayka minhuma wa na'il kasla. He says, and rise up against laziness. This is very important. He uses the word kasla. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a sound hadith, he used to make dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajazi wal-kasli. Oh Allah, I seek refuge from being incapable and laziness. And what he's explaining here is very important. When we talk about kasal, there's two, scholars say there's two types of laziness. There's kesel of the dimag, there's kesel of the mind, laziness of the mind, and laziness of the body. And some of the scholars explain that the damage of kesel, the damage of being lazy, is that the thing that you don't use, you lose it. The thing that you don't exercise, you lose it. And so the Arabs used to say, there's a saying that if you don't want to get tired so you don't get tired. I'm going to say that again. The Arabs used to say, if you don't want to be tired, get tired so you don't get tired. And what's interesting is if you think about the more we relax, yo, I'm going to chill out and relax to do more work. But then you get tired, more tired. Instead of that relaxation being something that is motivating to you to more, many times that relaxation is just something that's calling to more relaxation. And so the common thought is by resting, I'll be able to do more. But what actually happens is as I'm more inactive, I don't become more active. I just become more inactive, inactive, and inactive. And the Prophet ﷺ specifically sought refuge from two things. Ajiz. What is ajiz? Oh, I can't do it. But what is kesel? I can do it, but I don't feel like doing it. And that's the difference between these two things, that one is I can't do it. Sometimes you want to do it, but you can't. That's ajiz. The other is kesel. I got all the means to do it, but I just don't feel like doing it. That's kesel, and that's specifically what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge from. So the point here is this. There's a thing amongst millennials that we really don't realize is that struggle is inherent in the dunya, man. Struggle is inherent, and struggle defines you, bro. Struggle defines you. And if you want a life without struggles, then you'll have a life without success, without gains. You know what I'm saying? So the idea of growing spiritually or any type of growth is based on your ability to handle struggles. And so the statement that I repeat often regarding this is, don't look for a life without struggles. Look for a life with meaningful struggles. Because a life without struggles is impossible. But you can make sure the struggles that you have in your life are meaningful struggles. They may be for other people. They may be for family. It may be for the rights of a whole category of people. It can be anything, but there's going to be inherent struggle that's part of that. And so he says, وَكُنْ مُلَازِمًا لِمَا قَدَ ثَقُلَ. Hold on to whatever is difficult from these two things. مِنْهُمَا وَنَاءِ الْكَسْلَ. The word na'a means to stand up as if you have a burden on you. And so one of the scholars, he said, like, what's the cure for kesel? The cure for kesel is just to get up. Like, there's no other way besides just to get up. Na'a means to get up as if you have weight on you. So just get up and get rid of the kesel. The more you sit, the lazier you'll become. And so he's just trying to tell us, make sure you're of the people that are able to push away that kesel, and you understand that struggle is an inherent part of what we're doing, right? So anything you want gains in, struggle is going to be there. So again, I'll repeat this one. وَكُنْ مُلَازِمًا لِمَا قَدَ ثَقُلَ عَلَيْكَ مِنْهُمَا وَنَاءِ الْكَسَلَ. And be of those holding firm to that which is difficult from these two things, and rise up against laziness. He says next, وَدُمْ عَلَى الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ تَثْبُتُ لَوْ جَاءَكَ الْمَوْتُ كَمَا قَدَ ثَبَتُ. And behave as you would if you knew death was impending, as recommended by the Prophet. I'll say that again. And behave as you would if death was impending right there, as was advised by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is he saying here? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many hadith encouraged something called dhikr al-maut, remembering death. And when many young people hear that concept of remembering death, they think, that's a very morbid, it's kind of like demoralizing, it like makes me like feel like not living. When in fact, if the person truly understands what it means to remember death, it actually brings empowering and inspiring in the moment. Let me give an example. Like, if tonight was my last night on this earth, how am I going to spend that night with Maria, Qasim, and Karima, and Sara? If I knew for sure that tomorrow morning I'm done, what would this one night be like? Would I sleep? Would I take my eyes away from them? Would I ever pick up my cell phone to check messages? Or would I be 100% absorbed in the most important thing and prioritize the most valuable thing in this moment? I would value the most important thing of the moment. And so what he's trying to say here is that when a person remembers death regularly, they're able to prioritize what's important in life. And the things that are petty, she said, he said, whatever, that stuff, that's for the birds, yo. I don't know if that's millennial and talk anymore. Is that old?
I don't know, but it sounded good.
It sounded good. Okay, cool. Cool. So no, seriously, the petty stuff, the moment you're able to remember moat, like, I could be on the way out. You're able to not prioritize. Like, fantasy football don't matter no more, yo. Fantasy football don't matter no more because I'm out. So don't think of this concept of remembering death as, oh, that's so, like, morbid. And, you know, it's always, why would the prophet tell us to remember death? I got life. Well, no, if you want to value life, then you need to prioritize what's important, or it's not even worth living, guys. If you can't prioritize what's important, it's not even worth living. And so, again, if you knew tonight was your last night, your loved ones would get your full, undivided attention. But it's because you think you got tomorrow to kick it with them that you're like, oh, I could be distracted today. You get what I'm saying? Oh, I'll call mom tomorrow. I'll call moms tomorrow, right, Khalid? I'll call moms tomorrow. But if that's because you think you got tomorrow. Understand this point? So what does he say here? It's beautiful, man. He says, "Wadum ala alladhi alayhi tathbuta," and consistently behave as if you knew death was impending. Meaning value what's the most important, prioritize yourself in your life. "Lo ja'aka al-mautu kama qad thabatu in tahtamil fi zamanin qalili mushaqqatan lidayni ya khalili." I'm going to read two lines together because he put them together. He says, "In tahtamil fi zamanin qalilin mushaqqatan lidayni ya khalili." He says, "And if you have to bear for a short period of time some hardship for these two things, oh my dear friend, taslam wa tahwi ba'dahu tana'uma dahran tawilan fi jana'i this sama." I'll read it again. If you have to bear, okay, one of the key aspects of being able to stay on the path is your ability to realize that the path is actually very short. Your ability to stay consistent on the deen, pleasing Allah. The kryptonite to that, the kryptonite for you staying on the path, y'all got kryptonite, right? The kryptonite for you staying on the path is this thought that I have a long way to go. But the concept that I only have a few more steps. I use this example in class today. If you're running suicides in practice, and you know practice is over in 20 minutes, you're able to put your everything into it. Do you guys get that example? But the moment you're like, yo, we still got 5 hours left of practice, we're doing a double today, or whatever, all of a sudden, the burden of the moment becomes unbearable. Unbearable. So the key to our religious success in dealing with staying on the straight path is constantly reminding the self that, yo, the road is short. So listen to what he says now. He says, "In tahtamil fi zamanin qalili mushaqqatan lidayni ya khalili." تَسْلَمْ وَتَحْوِ بَعْدَهُ تَنَعُمَا دَهْرًا تَوِيلًا فِي جِنَاءِ السَّمَاءِ. He says, if you have to bear for some short period of time hardship seeking out these two things, submit, and then you will gather the blessings of eternal gardens. I'm going to say that again. If you have to bear the burden of these two knowledges and striving for the deen for this short time, submit, taslim, wa tahwa. He says, taslim, and after that, you'll be inheriting jinani this sama, dahran tawilan, for a long eternity, the heavens of paradise. And so, what I want us to understand is this. in life, there are moments where it's very difficult. And what shaitan does to us, what the devil does to us in those moments is it feels as if the burden is too heavy and we're being pushed down. So you lose your job, you lose this, you go through hardships, you get in a car accident, all these things are happening and you're getting this pressure pushed down and you can feel really depressed, really hard. It's a heavy burden on you. And in other moments, the job is good, you know, money's coming in, new house, new car. It's like the gates of Allah's happiness seem to have opened up. What's the danger in that state? What's the danger in that state? State B. Beyond content. Arrogant. The problem with state A is you become depressed. I'm nothing. I can't do this. I'm weak. The problem with state B is you're like, yo, look what I got, yo. I got everything. But check it. What's the solution to both states? They realize they're temporary. Both states, the state of being low is lifted up by you realizing this is a short time. And the state of being too high and elevated, you're brought down to earth. Like, yo, you ain't gonna have that Lexus forever, bro. You're not gonna have that job forever, man. Do you understand? So both of these states are not good for our heart. And the solution to them is the equilibrium, which is in the middle. And how do you get that? It's temporal. It's only a short time. Yeah, I'm a roll in the Lexus while I got it, alhamdulillah. But in the back of my head, you know what I'm thinking, Yazin? I'm like, yo, Allah will take this away whenever He wants. But in the meantime, I'm like, cutting people up. You know what I'm saying? But in my head, I'm like, the delusion is when we're like, I got it and it's mine. Then when you get in an accident, you're angry. Why did God take it away? The other dude was like, yeah, I knew he was going to tell you. It's just a matter of time. And the other person that's pressed down by hardship, they're also waiting for that fatah as well. And the way they're able to get through the next day is they're able to say to themselves, this is temporal. Today we studied a hadith, and I think it fits. We studied a hadith today. And the hadith says this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the person who lived the most difficult life in this world of all Bani Adam. Of all Bani Adam, all the children of Adam, Allah will take the person with the most difficult life. And Allah will take that person on the day of judgment and dip them into Jannah for a second. Dip them into Jannah for a second. And then when Allah takes that person out, in front of everyone, Allah will ask that person, who was this person? Who was it? The one who experienced what? From all of Bani Adam. We can't fathom who this person is. Allah will ask this person, after one dip into Jannah, have you ever experienced any difficulty in your entire existence? The person will say, I swear by God, I've never experienced any difficulty in my entire existence. The Prophet ﷺ then said, it's not done. The person who lived the most luxurious, comfortable, pleasant life, on the day of judgment, Allah, in front of everyone, will dip that person in the hellfire for a second and take him out. And then he'll ask the person, in front of all of these people, we have a question for you. Have you ever experienced any good in your entire existence? The man will say, I swear by God, I've never experienced any good. The shortness of this world is a cure for the difficulties of it, but the shortness of it is also a cure for arrogance. It's a cure for both of those. And so as long as you can remember that these things are limited, you stay grounded. You stay grounded. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to balance that. Does everyone understand that point? Tayyib, any questions on that one? Tayyib, let's go forward. So he says again, because he just said, act as if you would if death was right there. The very next lines, he's like, but wait, I know you're about to say, how am I going to do this my whole life? So he's like, hold on, I got you, bro. You got a short time. And what we spoke about in class is any number over infinity is what? 40 years over infinity. 70 years over infinity. That means whatever you went through in the whole 40 was zero. You see what I'm saying? But it's very powerful medicine. And the reason I'm telling you this is because everyone in this room is at a different stage. Some of us got the openings and we're chilling right now. Some of us is like being pressed down. But for both of us, the cure is one. For both of us, the cure for that is one. So again, he says, وَدُمْ عَلَى الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ تَثْبُتُ لَوْ جَاءَكَ الْمَوْتُ كَمَا قَدَ ثَبَتُ إِنْ تَحْتَمِلْ فِي زَمَنٍ قَلِيلِ مُشَقَّةً لِذَيْنِ يَا خَلِيلِ تَسْلَمْ وَتَحْوِ بَعْدَهُ تَنَأُمَا دَحْرًا تَوِيلًا فِي جِنَانِ ذِي السَّمَاءِ. Next line. وَلْتَعْلَمَنْ بِأَنَّ إِكْثَارَهُمَا مَعَ كَثْرَةِ الْآفَاتِ أَوْ تَرْكَهُمَا لِخَوْفِهَا أَوْ أَدَمِ الْحُضُورِ فِي الْقَلْبِ جَاءَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْغُرُورِ. Okay, now, Allahu Akbar. It's really heavy stuff. He says in this line, وَلْتَعْلَمْ. Know, however. We're talking about seeking two types of knowledges, correct? The external knowledge and the internal knowledge. The external knowledge fixes your actions. The inner knowledge fixes your hal. So look what he says next. He says, know, however, that far-reaching knowledge and many actions, while your heart is full of shortcomings, is pure delusion. If you're going to seek out knowledge, if you are going to be praying and doing all these actions, but your heart is not clean, he says this is pure delusion from Shaitan. You're praying, you're fasting, you're doing all these things, but you got jealousy for a sister across the room. You're reading Quran, you're doing all this, but you got hatred for the other brother over there, your cousin. Those inner things are there. So what he's saying is this is one of the deepest traps of Shaitan, that he'll convince you, especially students of knowledge, he'll convince you, yo, focus on your knowledge. Yo, focus on praying more. When here what we're talking about is, no, don't focus on that so much. Rather, focus on cleaning that inner aspect of who you are. I got a question. Who here puts food on a dirty plate? You put food on a dirty plate? Well, buffet, they don't even allow you at the buffet. That's a good point. I should have used that one. I'm going to use that one. I'm going to put it in notes. No, but think about it. Food, which is to benefit you, you don't take a dirty plate and put food on it. You clean the plate off first, and then you put food on it that you're going to consume. And that's the example here. You're putting all these salah and som and fasting and all of these good, nutritious, spiritually nutritious actions on this plate right here, but the plate is filthy. And so what he's saying, one of the deepest tricks of Shaitan, he says, وَلْتَعْلَمَنْ بِأَنَّ إِكْثَارَهُمَا مَعَ كَثْرَةِ الْآفَاتِ. Pure delusion. Doing a lot of these two things, a lot of knowledge and a lot of action with your heart filled with diseases is pure delusion. Then he goes forward. He goes, لِخَوْفِهَا أَوْ أَدَمِ الْحُضُورِ فِي الْقَلْبِ جَاءَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْغُرُورِ. But completely now, again, our success is in the balance, right in the middle, guys. He says, but to leave out these two things because of your fear that your heart is not pure, or because your fear that my heart isn't in it, this is the greatest delusion. So look, sometimes now Shaitan uses your piety against you. And he'll go, why are you learning all this stuff? Why are you praying? Your heart ain't even clean, dude. Your heart ain't even clean. Why are you even doing this stuff? Why are you learning hadith? Why are you learning all this? Your heart's so dirty. Just stop it. And you're like, yeah, man. Yeah, this is stupid. Why am I even doing it? Or the other thing is, when I get this question all the time, that sometimes I'm doing the action, but I don't feel my heart in it. I don't feel my heart in it. He says, for you to give up an action because your heart isn't in it is the deepest trick from Shaitan. You're not accountable for your heart being in it or not. You're accountable for the action. And so what he's telling you is keep doing the action while you're working on bettering your state. Never leave the action because my heart is dirty. Does everyone get the balance? Because the previous line we just read, y'all was like, yo, I'm out, yo. Like, yo, I'm going to go home. I'm going to work on my heart. I'll be back in 3 months. And Shaitan's like, yes, got him. Yes, exactly. Yo, I got him. He's good. He ain't gonna come. He ain't gonna clean his heart. So he ain't never coming back. No. The point here is that he wants you to say, yo, I need to focus on jealousy, anger, all of these things in my heart. I need to focus on sincerity, all of these things. Don't sleep on that because you're doing a lot of actions and you're learning a lot of knowledge. No, you can't do that. But at the same time, don't give up because your heart's not completely in it. So many times people come to Qalam, for example, and they're like, you know, I want to study, and they're here, and then every now and then they come, they're like, Sheikh, my heart's not feeling it. I think I should quit. Like, you're already on the path. Some days you feel like it, some days you don't. Just same way you go to the gym. Some days you feel like it, some days you don't. But no matter what, there's still gains when you're not feeling it as long as you keep doing it. You feel me? There's still gains as long as you keep doing it, regardless of whether you're feeling it or not. Fahimtum? طيب. So he says, وَلْتَعْلَمَنْ بِأَنَّ إِكْثَارَهُمَا مَعَ كَثْرَةِ الْآفَاتِ أَوْ تَرْكَهُمَا لِخَوْفِهَا أَوْ أَدْمِ الْحُضُورِ فِي الْقَلْبِ جَاءَ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْغُرُورِ. All right, next one. It's beautiful. The next one, he says, وَتَرْكُكَ التَّوْبَةَ خَوْفَ أَنْ تَعُودْ إِلَى الْمَعَاسِ كَيْدُ إِبْلِيسَ الْمَرِيدِ. Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba is amazing. He says, وَتَرْكُكَ التَّوْبَةَ, and for you to stop doing tawbah, khawfa an ta'ud, because you fear you're going to relapse into your sin, kaydu iblis, is a pure trick of shaitan. I'm going to do, so I know I'm doing wrong, and tonight I'm about to go to sleep, and I get this feeling, I'm like, astaghfirullah, man, I shouldn't be doing this. And then shaitan's like, yo, why are you doing astaghfirullah? You going there tomorrow? Just, who you fooling? And you're like, yeah, you're right. I'll just do Toba like when my whole situation changes. He says, right now this line is saying what? وَتَرْكُكَ التَّوْبَ خَوْفَ أَن تَعُودْ إِلَى الْمَعَاسِ كَيْدُ إِبْلِيسَ الْمَرِيدِ. Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, he says this. He says, whenever Shaitan tells you you're going to fall back into the sin, so don't repent. You know what you say to him? This is what Ahmed Zarruq says. He says, say to him, just as we have made relapsing an occupation, I'm going to make toba an occupation. Perhaps they'll even out when I die. So just tell shaitan, yeah, I keep slipping, but guess what? I'm going to keep getting up. And perhaps I'm going to die in a state where I'm up. You feel me? Now we talked about this in our previous class. What is the primary fallacy in shaitan's logic why you shouldn't do toba because you're going to go back? Who remembers this? Exactly. Perfect. He said, there's an assumption in that statement that I'm living till tomorrow. And that is a fallacy, and Shaitan just got you on that one. Because God never said you have tomorrow. He said you have right now. Tomorrow might never come. And so the solution to that train of thought, again, is like, I'm doing Toba right now. I'll see what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow isn't here, but right now I'm going to do Toba. I'm going to repent. And when tomorrow comes, I'll deal with tomorrow. Fahimt? Tayyib. وَتَرْكُكَ التَّوْبَ خَوْفَ أَن تَعُودْ إِلَى الْمَعَاسِ كَيْدُ إِبْلِيسَ الْمَرِيدِ. Now, وَالْعِلْمُ أَفْضَلُ أَخِي مِنَ الْعَمَلِ وَأُسُّسُهُ فَازَ مَنْ لَهُ حَسَلْ. Changing the topic now. Listen, he says, and knowledge is more beneficial, O my brother and sister, than actions. Ussusuhu, it's the foundation. Faza man lahu hasal. Successful is the one who gains knowledge. Like, listen, many of us, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way at all, but many of us have like a second grade level of Islamic knowledge. If you count the hours of study compared to your other hours, you have masters and PhDs in this room right now, but you literally have a fourth to third grade hours, if we count hours, fourth to third grade level, Islamic studies understanding. And that's dangerous, man, because the foundation of action is knowledge. The foundation of action is knowledge. And if you don't have knowledge, the foundation of those actions is shaky. And so we should really make it a point, especially now with like podcasts and online learning and Yaqeen Institute, like shameless plug for my man over there, right? Mashallah, there's so many. Oh, and Qalam. Shameless plug. I didn't even think that way. But like there's options now to learn. There's options now. But back in the day, like the uncles that were converts before my generation, before me, they're like, oh, we had to go overseas. They would have to call a sheikh from somewhere. Sheikh, we got a question. Put you on speakerphone. We don't have that problem. You have homegrown scholars. You have people that speak your language, your colloquial language. What's stopping you from seeking knowledge of the deen? There's nothing holding us back. We have no excuses now. And so he says, back to this, وَالْعِلْمُ أَفْضَلُ أَخِي مِنَ الْأَمَلِ. Knowledge is more virtuous, brothers and sisters, than action. وَأُسُسُهُ فَازَ مَنْ لَهُ حَسَلٍ. It's the foundation, it's the base. Successful is the one who gains it. Then he says, لَكِنَّمَا ثَمْرُهُ كَالنَّفْئِ فِي عَمَلٍ بِهِ فَكُنْ ذَا الْجَمْعِ. He says, but don't be fooled, because the fruit of knowledge lies in action. So be someone who brings them both together. So that was amazing. He's like, yo, knowledge is more important than action. So get it. But then he says, but the thamara, the fruit of knowledge, is action. So join them together. I got you. He says, لَكِنَّمَا ثَمْرُهُ كَالنَّفْعِ فِي عَمَلٍ بِهِ فَكُنْ ذَا الْجَمْعِ. However, the fruit of it, knowledge, fi amalin bihi, is in acting on it. That's why they say that everything has a zakat. You know, you have zakat. Everything has zakat. What is the zakat of knowledge? Teaching. That's like side hook right there. Everyone's like, I know the answer to this one. Nah, teaching is the zakat. Khair, inshallah. There's a different opinion on that. But he says, amalin bihi. So, kun dhal jama. So, do both. All right? Y'all with me? Okay. Qaliluhu bil ilmi aktharu thawab. Min al kathiri ma'a jahlin lartiyab. Qaliluhu bil ilmi. A little bit of action with knowledge. أكثر ثواب is way more rewarding من الكثير مع جهل than a lot of action with ignorance, لرتياب, without any doubt. Look, when you have knowledge, right? When you have knowledge, the action is based in something firm and you know what's behind the action. Look, the Prophet ﷺ said that my Sahabi will spend a handful of wheat in charity, and it will be equal to a mountain of gold in the later generation. It's because they're doing the action, but they're missing something key to it. And it's that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowledge of what is correct that's missing. And so what he's saying here is stop focusing on the amount. Because brothers and sisters, actions aren't counted on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they're weighed. They're weighed. No one's counting actions on Yawm al-Qiyamah. They're being put on scales. So what that means, if I got 2 raka'ah that outweigh your 40, I'm good, yo. But I want that weight to it. And that's what he's saying. He says here again, قَلِيلُهُ بِالْإِلْمِ أَكْثَرُ ثَوَابًا. A little bit of action with knowledge is أكثر ثواب, way more rewarding. مِنَ الْكَثِيرِ مَعَ جَهْلٍ لَرْتِيَابٍ. Then a lot of action with ignorance, lirtiyab. Allah protect us. So, practical point here is you need to be dividing your day and your week and your months into moments of seeking knowledge and action as well. You need to constantly be setting up ways to be increasing your knowledge. And the only way to do that is to go to someone who knows that can guide you on that path. And it can be something as consistent as this. I mean, we're going through this whole book of Sheikh Ahmed Ubamba, and he's dropping gems on us, teaching us about how we're getting close to Allah and things that are very important for our deen. So things like this are how we increase our knowledge. Okay, continue. قَلِيلُهُ بِالْإِلْمِ أَكْثَرُ ثَوَابٍ مِنَ الْكَثِيرِ مَعَ جَهْلٍ لَارْتِيَابٍ نَافِئُهُ الَّذِي الْفَتَى تَعَلَّمَا لِلَّهِ جَلَّ وَحْدَهُ وَعَلَّمَا. He says, the benefit of knowledge is for the young person who learns for the sake of Allah only, وَعَلَّمَا, and teaches others. The thing he's saying here is that the reason why you're learning, now this is important. Now everyone's like, all right, I'm going to start studying, I'm going to start learning. But what's your intention? Are you studying and learning so that you could be arguing with people in the comment sections on social media? Yeah, but you know, Imam such and such says this, and you know. Like, what is your purpose for studying now? The first thing is we're waking ourselves up to learning. So it's like, yo, let's do this. And everyone's like, yeah, I got to learn. But while you're on the path, Shaitan's like, yeah, but why, yo, post something on this. You know, or what's your intention? So what he says, listen closely. This is where it hits home. He says, نَافِئُهُ الَّذِي فَتَى تَعَلَّمَا لِلَّهِ جَلَّ وَحْدَ. The benefited one is the one who, as a young person, learns knowledge of the deen only for Allah. وَعَلَّمَا. Teach other people. Teach other people too. لَا مَنْ تُعَلِّمَا مِرَاءً وَرِيَاءً أَوِ الْمُبَاحَاتَ بِهِ فَلْتَدْرِيَا. Not the one who seeks knowledge, مِرَاءً, to argue with people. You're not seeking knowledge of the deen to argue with your cousin, your sister, your aunt, whoever. مِرَاءً, not رِيَاءً, and you're not doing so people can see you. That's not the intention. أَوْ مُبَاحَاتْ, or to argue, or to compete with other knowledgeable people. فَلْتَدْرِيَا, make sure you understand this. So make sure, if you're seeking knowledge, it's not for what reasons now? What did he say first? To argue with people, number two. To show off, number three. To compete with other people, and number four. Just three? All right, three. But watch this, he'll give more. وَلَلَّذِي سُدَّتِ الدُّنْيَا بِهِ لِحُبِّ جَاءٍ وَمَقَامٍ نَابِهِ. And don't be of those people who are seeking to capture the dunya through knowledge of deen. Like, don't learn this deen and then use this deen to get dunya. Because you just sold something priceless for something extremely cheap. So cheap, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's cheaper than the wing of a mosquito, literally. It's less valuable than the wing of a mosquito in a hadith. So don't sell something so priceless that prophets came to give us for something so low as dunya. And he says, لِحُبِّ جَاهٍ, out of your love for jah, fame. Listen, back in the day, love of fame was something only 1 or 2% of people would be afflicted with, because the stage wasn't big enough for everyone. There was only 1 or 2% of us that would be hit with this problem of حُبِّ جَاهٍ. Right? Because how would everyone know everyone? But now look, everybody's got a following. Everyone's got some people following, followers. How many followers? Hubbija has reached a level where everyone can get hit with Hubbija. Everyone can get hit with Hubbija. Because now everyone has a stage. It's funny, you have a stage even if you're the only one watching you. Some of us check our stuff more than other people check our stuff. Who are you posting for? You posting for you. Gee, man. Hubbijah is dangerous. Hubbijah is considered, when we talk about love of dunya, love of the immediate world, there's only two loves inside of that. Fame and wealth. And back in the day, only some people had Hubbijah. Everyone else had Hubbimal. But now, people want followers more than money. The leading Twitter people with followers, I got 100,000. I literally saw a tweet 2 days ago that said, would you prefer $100,000 or 100,000 followers?
But a lot of time, followers
make
money.
Exactly. Exactly. Influence. Now check this though. Hubbijah is different than jah. See, fame, prophets were famous. Jah, fame is not bad intrinsically. The same way wealth is not bad intrinsically. But love of it is what's crippling to your progress spiritually. Love of it means you're supposed to love Allah. See, we use love very easily. Like, I love pizza. Like, what? Like, I like it. is good. Yasin's like, nah, I love pizza. My point is just that the love is so strong, bro. There's only one or two people that you're supposed to love, bro. There's only one or two people you're supposed to love. That love is just, it's a high thing. And I'm just saying we use it very easily. The same way we use friends now. Friends are normally, like if I had three good friends in this dunya, I'm good, yo. Two or three, I'm good. Not people I know. Friends that will like sacrifice the skin on their back for you. You know what I'm saying? So friends is another term I feel we're just using too loosely. But love, hubbijah, love of wealth, love of fame is what's dangerous, not fame. And if you can have fame without loving it, cool, do it. Just the same way if you can have wealth without loving it, then do it. But just be careful. Just be careful. Yes, Shahir.
So how about the person that you talk about seeking knowledge and then for Allah alone? So what about the person who wants to learn knowledge but then wants to teach it as a result? Like that's part of their intention.
I think that's a good intention. 100%. The question is, what if I'm seeking knowledge to teach? Well, you know, always know, like, you know, first put on your own thing first, then the next person next to you, right?
Yeah.
So common sense tells you I'm not going to get other people to Jannah and go to hell myself, right? So I want to be the first recipient of the blessing of what I'm learning. So as long as that's bottom, common denominator, I need to get myself to what pleases Allah, the intention to teach is a blessed intention. Oh, nah, you teach. You still teach. You still teach. Yes, Ahmed. How do you check if you love something? Can you give it up? Very simple, bro. Give it up. Give it up. If you can give it up and part with it, you're good. That's it. If you can give it up and part with it, the love isn't there. But if the moment it's taken away from you, it hurts deeply, you got some love with it. The attachment is strong, right? And that attachment should only be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because everything else He could take from you and give to you, take from you, give to you. It's hard. We got to work on that. But we got a lot of loves in our heart, man.
But can't you love something and know that it's temporary? Like, for example, you love someone and you love them.
Yes, I think that works definitely. I think that's fine. I love my children, and at the same time, But see, that thing is a love for the sake of Allah too, though. Like, my love for my children is a love for the sake of God. And many of us, we haven't developed enough to understand, how do I love something for the sake of God? Well, that means if God told me not to love it, I wouldn't love it. And most of us just love things because I naturally love it, instead of I love things that God told me to love. You get what I mean? And so the children, the family, my mother, all of... And subhanAllah, how many times can we get angry or start to hate something that we're supposed to love? You know what I mean? Okay. Right? So your love and your hate should be motivated by what God is telling us to love and hate. It's a hard level to get, but we're working on that. But it's a goal that we strive to have. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm speaking in ideals now, but I think it's important for us to understand those ideals. So let's... Oh, we're good. Just a few more lines, inshallah. So he says, and don't be of the one who's trying to capture the dunya through your knowledge. If you're seeking knowledge, don't try to capture the dunya through it. لِحُبِّ جَاءٍ وَمَقَامٍ نَابِهِ. Not seeking any fame or a position through that knowledge. وَلَلَّذِي يُطْلَبُ لِتَحَيُّلِ بِهِ لِسَرْفِ كُلِّ قَلْبٍ فَعْقُلِ. And don't be someone who's seeking knowledge in order to capture the hearts of every person. Here's the deal, yo. The da'i. Who's a da'i? Someone giving da'wah, right? The da'i has a delicate task. You know what that task is? To place the love of something in the heart of people without also placing the love of them in the heart as well. You feel what I'm saying? That's the most delicate task of the da'i. You're not calling people to you. You're calling people to knowledge. If you weren't doing it, you'd be calling them to someone else giving that knowledge out. That's the test. But if it's you, you're placing your love in people's hearts too. So he says, don't be someone who is لِصَرْفِ قُلِّ قَلْبٍ. You're trying to capture every heart. What? Hearts are for God. Why do you want people's love and the love of you in their heart? Do you get the difference? It's a very delicate thing. Ma'i? MashaAllah. No, when someone has control over hearts of other people, then they get what they want. They walk in a store and they're like, Sheikh Majanan. Like, he don't need money no more. He got his face. Every heart, he's got every heart. She's got every heart. And Shaitan, we don't need money. Just give us those numbers, followers. Because now I have hearts, not money. And then I have everyone's money if I have their heart. It's dangerous, man. There are people just give up their whole akhirah using knowledge to gain those things. And it's difficult. So what I was explaining, Shahir, is this. The da'i, their primary objective is to place the love of something in your heart. But that love of something should not also leave a trace of love for me only. You get what I'm saying? Cool. If the love comes, I love all my teachers. That's cool. But they're not setting out with the intent of turning hearts towards them. You know why that's important? Listen, what happens when you have to give a message that people don't want to hear? What happens when you got to give a message that people don't want to hear? Well, if I say this, the hearts turn away from me. But you got a job to do, yo. You have a trust from God. So are you going to be able to now speak up and say what has to be said? If your goal was the hearts of people, it's going to be very hard to speak that truth. Yes, then.
You know how lots of guys can check yourself?
Yeah.
Do y'all do that amongst your circle of people? Y'all put out a lot of...
No, I got a best friend who's not a scholar who will call me up and be like, yo, what you doing, man? Yo, you ain't big, yo. Yeah, it's my man. He's like, yo, bro, you remember what you was doing before, bro? Like, so you just need good friends. And it's not other scholars, it's just my boys, like, who know you. As long as you stay around people who know you from your old days, you stay grounded too. Because you remember where you came from. Like, literally in my head, I can think right now about where I was and be like, y'all wouldn't even, like, let me in the building, yo. Wallahi, you wouldn't let me in the building. You're like, no, this dude can't even come in. And it's only God's grace that I'm even able to sit with y'all today. It's only Allah's grace I'm even able to enjoy your company today. Or else if Allah, like, let it be seen, realities. Listen, I'm gonna say this. We're pretty much done for today. There's a bit more. But one of the exercises I want you to do is this. It's very important, and I think I brought it up before, is this. I want everyone to imagine right now in this gathering, I want you to imagine that your name has just been chosen and the last week of yours is going to be shown on this back wall right here for everyone. Your name is called right now. Stand up. And now, right now, present it on this wall for all of us to sit there and watch. We're going to watch your last week, what you did. That's you right there. I don't know what it is. You know. Now imagine the Prophet seeing that too. Imagine the Prophet seeing your last week. Your mother, your grandmother, watching that last week. How can you become deluded about yourself when you know what would be on that screen? You get what I'm saying? And so a practice that you can do every night to start to reform, it's powerful medicine, is to just imagine sitting in this gathering right now and your whole last week, and we're all like, oh my God. Nah. Or do you have hidden good deeds that we're going to be like, subhanAllah. In the middle of the night, nobody knew this dude was, subhanAllah. Yawma tubala sarair. The day when secrets just come out, yo. The day when secrets just come out, man. So just imagine that. And wallah, if it hits your heart, allow it to hit your heart. Allow those tears to come down. That was a door of Tawbah right there that just opened for you. Allow that to happen. Picture that until it comes out. And when that comes out, you go, Ya Allah, forgive me. I don't want that scene. There's no way I can live with that being seen. And that's Tawbah right there. It's wiped clean, inshallah. And then next week we do it again. I know, right? Next week we do it again. Next week we do it again until you know what? You get to the point where you be like, yeah, show my last week, yo. Yes, please. Please, yo. Please. Alhamdulillah. One or two more lines? Yes, okay, we have to finish off this thought. Yes, we're almost done. وَكُلُّ مَنْ لِهَذِهِ الْأَشْيَاءِ تَعَلُّمَا فَالْعِلْمُ بِإِئْتِنَا وَلَمْ يَتُبْ قَبَلَ الْمَمَاتِ وَالْكِبَرِ مَدَارِكًا مَا فَاتَهُ وَقْتَ الصِّغَرِ فَلَا لَهُ الْيَوْمَ سُؤَالِ وَالْحِسَابِ سِوَى وَبَالٍ وَمَلَامٍ وَعَذَابٍ لِأَنَّ عِلْمَهُ يَسِيرُ حُجَّةٌ غَدًا عَلَيْهِ فَخْشَى تِلْكَ الْحُجَّةِ. He says, فَكُلُّ مَنْ, whoever learned knowledge for those things I just mentioned and taught people for those things and doesn't do tawbah before they leave this world or before they get older to rectify what they learned in their young age, فَلَا لَهُ الْيَوْمَ سُؤَالِ وَالْحِسَابِ, this person will not have anything on the day of questioning and resurrection except blame, malam, and adab, wabal, misfortune, blame, and punishment. Why? Because this person's knowledge will become a proof against them. Your knowledge will become a proof against you. فَقْشَى تِلْكَ الْحُجَّةِ. Be scared, be wary of that proof. We'll stop there, inshallah. So again, beautiful lines by Sheikh Ahmed Abamba, subhanallah. Again, my intention in studying this is for the betterment of my heart and soul. And teaching this, I think all of us are learning practical steps now to going down that path. And today's lesson, I'm going to read everything back just all at one time, inshallah. But today's lesson was just about you need knowledge and action. You need to strive and work hard for those. Push away laziness. You need to never stop. But you need to make sure you're cleaning the plate off as you're putting more food on the plate. And then he said, the tawbah part, make sure you don't stop tawbah because I'm going to sin tomorrow. All you're responsible for is today. That's all I'm responsible for. And then he explained why not to seek knowledge. Why not to seek knowledge? And so make your intention straight, seek the knowledge, and with a little bit of action and knowledge, the actions are very heavy. That's what we went through today. So, inshallah, we're done. I'm just going to read everything that we studied today all at one time because somebody's going to put a mixtape together, right? وَصَحِّهِمْ بِالصِّدِقِ وَالْإِخْلَاسِ كِلَيْهِمَا تَذْفَرُ بِاخْتِصَاصِ وباتباع سنة المختار صلى وسلم عليه الباري وآله وصحبه ومن تبع آثارهم من مقتدى ومتبع وكن ملازما لما قد ثقلا عليك منهما وناء الكسلا ودم على الذي عليه تثبت لو جاءك الموت كما قد ثبت إن تحتمل في زمن قليل مشقة لدين يا خليلي تسلم وتحوي بعده تنعما دحرا طويلا في جنائذ السماء ولتعلما بأن إكثارهما مع كثرة الآفات أو تركهما لخوفها أو أدم الحضور في القلب جاء من أعظم الغرور وتركك التوبة خوف أن تعود إلى المعاصي كيد إبليس المريد والعلم أفضل أخي من العمل أسسه فاز من له حصل لكنما ثمره كالنفع في عمل به وكن ذا الجمع قليله بالعلم أكثر ثواب من الكثير مع جهل لا ارتياب نافئه الذي الفتى تعلما لله جل وحده وعلما لما تعلما مراء ورياء أو المباحة به فلتدريا وللذي سيدت الدنيا به لحب جاه ومقام نابه وللذي يطلب للتحيل به لصرف كل قلب فعقلي فكل من لهذه الأشياء تعلم العلوم باتناع ولم يتب قبل الممات والكبر مداركا ما فاته وقت الصغر فلا له يوم الحساب والسؤال سوى وبال وملام وعذاب لأن علمه يسير حجة غدا عليه فخش تلك الحجة. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Are there any questions, inshallah ta'ala, about whatever we covered today, inshallah?
What was the last one, the number?
Oh, the last number today was 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113. Yes. What can we do to reduce our love, unhealthy loves for people? Correct? Some of it we talked about in our last series, Sufficient Answer. He has a section on, the second section of his poem is on the khalq, love of the creation. And so I think just hold on to that thought for a few more weeks. Let's see what he has to say about that. Yeah. It's hot, right? Sorry. I think there's healthy loves, yes, for the sake of Allah. We're not told not to love. We're just told to love for the sake of Allah. Right? That just means when Allah tells me not to love something, I won't. And when He tells me to love it, I will. And that's hard to do because we have natural love that we're trying to push in a way that God wants us to love. And we have to take out unhealthy loves as well. So, yeah.
I'm referring to, like, how can we reduce, like, our wanting other people to love us? Like, fame.
Oh, yeah. So Ghazali just gives a really good cure to that, which is, you know the hadith that says if the entire creation was to gather to benefit you? Just think about that hadith. Because the reason why you have so much concern for them is you think they can give you something. But you got to have in your aqidah that no one can give me anything except Allah wants it for me. And once you realize that, if the whole world is against me and Allah wants something for me, that's what the hadith literally says. And that's the application of that hadith. To realize that Allah is the one that... You know, can you stop the Instagram one? It's already stopped. Khair, khair. All right, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wasalamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the blessing of whatever we learned here today, Ya Allah. We ask you to put nur and barakah in whatever we learned, Ya Allah. We ask you to forgive us of our shortcomings. Give us the ability to act upon whatever we learned, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, and accept this gathering from us. Wa akhru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.